Radio Pulpit, 657 AM.
Pragtige liedjie. The joy of the Lord is my strength from Rent Collective this afternoon on Spectrum. Right now, we're connecting with Meneer Charles Du Toit all the way in somewhere in Cape Town. Am I correct, Charles? Hartenbosch. Yeah. How are you?
About 400 kilometers from Cape Town. But I'm doing well, thanks. How are you?
No, I'm good. It's good to connect with you today.
It's amazing. It's nice hearing your voice again and hearing you speak Afrikaans again. That's such a blessing.
Charles, weet jy wat? Ek praat mooi Afrikaans altyd.
Ek weet jy praat. Dis hoekom het so lekker is om te hoor.
Praise die Here. That's how far I can go. Charles, let's get into it. On Wednesday, we're celebrating Youth Day, and you've done a whole lot of work with young people previously and also currently. I mean, you've been a youth pastor, and also you're currently a pastor and doing youth counseling. What are some of the real issues that young people in the church especially struggle with?
I think one of the main things with youth today struggle with is the fact that social media has become such a big part of their lives, and it's sure. something that you and I never had to deal with. We never had social media. We, in fact, didn't even have the internet when we were in high school age. So nowadays, they're struggling with the internet, struggling with social media. So you're sitting at home and you're not feeling good about yourself, and what you do is you feel you want to open up Instagram or Facebook or TikTok. And it just seems like there's so many people living so much better lives than what you currently are living. Mm. And I feel that that's one of the biggest struggles that they struggle with. This fact that they don't feel, not necessarily feel appreciated, but they don't feel the part, they don't feel welcomed into this world because they're so much different than a lot of their friends. So I love social media for the great thing that it can do, but unfortunately there's so much harm that can come from it as well.
Sure.
And I see it in teenagers now.
You know, actually, when you say social media, I'm reminded of a story of a young girl who posted her picture. And, you know, all her peers, when they commented on her picture on Facebook, they started attacking her that she has a nice body, but she actually doesn't have a nice face that goes with the body. And the girl then started writing messages on Facebook to say she's going to commit suicide, and people were trying to reach her without fail. But I'm not sure how it ended, but I think you're actually quite right. Social media is pressuring the young people so much.
It's terrible. Because the first thing is that any counselor would tell you that you should never compare yourself to one another, because there's no such thing as a healthy comparison.
Mm.
But that's what we constantly do when we are on social media.
Mm.
We see people, because nobody posts bad photos on social media. They only post the good ones. You know, we take 55, but the one where you feel your face is looking good and your body is looking good and the sun is setting just right, you know, in my case, people take photos when the ocean is behind them and everyone can see that.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, yes, I want to be there, but I'm not there.
But then, Charles, how can, you know, with your experience working with young people, how can you encourage parents especially to be able to understand and help their teenagers who are experiencing challenges? I mean, there are a whole lot of young people who've been abused, you know, they've been bullied, and sometimes parents, they think their children are looking for attention. They don't understand that sometimes there's a root cause to how their children are behaving. How can you give parents more knowledge regarding dealing with you know, a young person going through challenges or a young person who's depressed? I don't know. How can you put it nicely for us there?
they are going through challenges. And I think one thing that you said now is parents sometimes just think, no, they're looking for attention. But, and when a parent comes to me and they say something like that, I agree and so tell them, yes, they are looking for attention because clearly you're not giving it to them.
Sure.
We, unfortunately, with the economy in the country currently, economy worldwide currently, we see a lot of people working a lot harder just to make ends meet at the end of the month. And that means that no longer are parents working 8 hours a day. They're going into 10, 11 hours a day. We see a lot of, and that's what's happening down here in the Southern Cape. A lot of dads are working up north in Africa somewhere there on mines, and they're only home for 2 weeks and then they're gone for 3 months again or whatever the case might be. So these youngsters, they don't have anyone to look up to. They don't have a healthy house scenario. I remember on Friday night, me and Given show at 6, we had this very interesting discussion with the amount of child-headed homes in South Africa now. And then I'm sitting there, and you know, I'm doing this counseling, and my entire job description is to make people feel great about who they are and who God created them to be, and to get them in this reconciliation with God.
Sure.
But I honestly would not know how to tell someone that's a child-headed house or who's the head of a house, how to encourage them. I would honestly not know how to do that because it's just so, so difficult.
Sure.
So if you're a parent and you're listening now, I would suggest spend more time with your children. Mm. That's the easiest way to know whether something is actually wrong or whether there's something not serious. And rather spend time with them now before it gets serious, so that when something happens, it's easy for you to distinguish what is happening because you know your child.
Mm.
If you don't know your child that well, you won't be able to distinguish whether something is happening or not, whether they're being bullied or not. Are they actually depressed, or are they just suffering from a bout of depression? Because every one of us suffers from a bout of depression ever so often. You go through these 2-3 days which you don't feel well. But if you're depressed, that 2-3 days turn into 2-3 weeks, which can turn into 2-3 months.
Sure.
That's the difference. Mm. And if you don't know your child, you're not obviously be able to identify that that's something that they're going through now.
Mm. Sure. And so take me through your counseling session with young people. What usually happens? When you counsel them, how do you do your counseling sessions with young people? Just paint a scenario for me.
What I usually do, obviously, is I start way at the beginning. So I will ask them anything. Like, the first thing that's very important in counseling, and that's the first question I was asked them, is why do you want to see me? Why do you want to talk to me?
Yeah.
Because parents would tell their children, you need to talk to someone. Contact this number. And which happens on the I Am counseling line, right?
Mm.
And then this guy, you ask him, why do you want to talk to me? He said, because my dad said so.
Sure. What an answer.
That's not... And the great thing is, at least is being honest.
Mm.
But I mean, that's not a foundation for counseling. I can't counsel something like that because you need to have a open discussion with what's wrong, and the person needs to be able to communicate and verbalize what is actually wrong. So I will ask them why do they want to see me, and then they will tell me, unfortunately, where we currently are, 95% of the time they tell me I'm depressed or I'm anxious or I feel I want to commit suicide.
Sure.
And then I will ask them, is there certain times that you want to feel that, to see if we can distinguish whether there's a pattern happening, identify a pattern or something. And then we will, after I've sort of got an idea for that, what's happening now, I will take them back at their childhood and start as way back as the earliest they can remember, see if there was something that happened along the line which would be able for them then to start feeling depressed. Say, for instance, that their parents died. That's a good reason to be depressed, to be honest. Your grandparents died. That's a good reason to feel sad, not depressed. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
That's a good reason to feel down.
Mm-hmm.
So were you able, did you surround yourself with friends? Were there people that surrounded you that was able to help you through that time? And then we try to identify whether there's a pattern, what's the root cause of the depression, because depression always has a root cause. If I can't distinguish a root cause, then I know it's time to get in some serious professional help.
Mm.
Then you need to go see a psychiatrist, because it might be, which is something that Christians nowadays, we don't like to admit it, but we need to admit the fact that some bodies as in human bodies, just do not produce enough serotonin or either other one of the hormones in order for that person to feel good about themselves. They just lack that. And that's when I say, when I'm not able to distinguish that, then we get in a professional person to determine whether this person actually is serotonin intolerant or lacking in serotonin or whatever the other one of the hormones is.
Sure. Hmm. You know, earlier on, I played a clip that was talking on the issue of, is the Bible still relevant in shaping the identity of our youth today? Do you think, as a counselor, as a pastor, is the Bible still relevant in shaping the identity of our youth today?
Yes, of course. The Bible is still very, very relevant. Is the way that we as the ecumenical church is presenting it still relevant? That's a different question. Are we bringing the Bible to... You know what, and if I'm 100% honest with you, the way that I presented it when I was working with youngsters, with youth or high school young students, is I did not necessarily prepare this 25-minute sermon because there's so much sermons that people can listen to. I asked them questions, and I asked them to ask me questions.
Sure.
And having had that discussion, something which we do not have very often, unfortunately, in the church groups that I'm involved in or surrounded in, that's where the Bible is still very relevant, but the church or the pastor is not necessarily relevant. Because we are still speaking on topics that that's not issues in the daily lives of our congregants. So the moment I opened up the floor and I asked them to ask questions, the first one of the first questions that they ask is, are we allowed to ask you questions? Are we actually allowed to ask questions?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, please. Please, let's have an open discussion. And the moment if you're open and honest while you're working with people that's, especially with teenagers and young adults, when you're working with them and you're open, you say, you know what, I struggle with certain stories in the Bible. I do not see how it happened. I'm struggling. I know it's true, but I don't see it happening. Jonah, we don't know what the chemics or the physics and the science behind it is. I don't know how it works. The moment we start having this discussion, they realize, like, listen, I can talk to Charles, because Charles really attempts to have all the answers, but he does not have all the answers.
Sure.
And he's honest about not having all the answers. Then the Bible is still relevant, because we are trying to present it in a relevant way, I believe.
Beautiful answer. So, Michelle, what message of encouragement can you give to our young teenagers this afternoon in commemorating Youth Day? What as a pastor, what scripture or word would you give them this afternoon?
The last couple of days, I'm very motivated by the fact that when Jesus prayed for the last time that we know of, he was sweating blood. There was literally blood drops that formed on his forehead. And I've always struggled to think why it was. Was he such under such stress because he experienced such stress? And I realized, actually by listening a couple of sermons and Googling stuff, I realized that it could have been that at that stage was the first time in Jesus' 33, 34 years of life that he prayed and God did not answer because the start of the crucifixion was already taking place and God had to desert him for that. And they, in other words, what I'm trying to say, when Jesus prayed, he was sweating blood because the first time he was talking as if he's feeling nothing, as if God was not there, as if his Father was not there. And he must have not known what that felt like. And that's, I find so, so much encouragement in the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ himself prayed and felt that he had no answer. That I want to, I'm encouraged to pray and know that even though he doesn't always feel like God hears my prayers, he's still there. He did the same thing with Jesus, but the difference is the fact that he answered, he can answer my prayers because he refused Jesus' prayers. And now we are in a community and in a relationship with him. And whenever I think of Youth Day, I just think of people like Timothy in the Bible. Obviously, God, Paul said to him, do not misuse your youth. Do not let people look down to you on your own because you're young. And we need to remember why we celebrate Youth Day in South Africa.
Sure.
Because of the guys that were shot and killed because they stood up against a system that was corrupt. And I'm always encouraged by that. When I talk to young people, I will tell them the Jesus story because that's obviously insane and that's my entire lifestyle. But I will always tell people the same thing. Do not you waste your youth and do not let people look down on you because you're young.
Amen. So if the listeners would like to keep in touch with you, especially for counseling purposes or refer their young ones, how can they get hold of you? How do we get hold of you?
The easiest, of course, is on WhatsApp.
Okay.
That's the one that gets directly to me. So if you've got a pen and paper, the WhatsApp number there is 064-530-6805. So
okay.
Let me just repeat that number again. 064-530-6805. 6805. And if you're driving and you can't get that number, put it down now. You're always just welcome to go to our Facebook page. Just type in I Am Youth Movement. There's a lot of photos and ads with a counseling number. So please do not hesitate to come into contact with us.
Awesome. The number is 064-530-6805. And if anyone misses the number, you're welcome to WhatsApp me on our Radio Pulpit WhatsApp line, and I'll give you the cancelling numbers. 064-530-6805. Shaw, may I please kindly ask you to lead us in prayer, especially for the youth of South Africa?
Most definitely. Lord Jesus, thank you for this moment that we as Christians around South Africa can just bring the youth to you. Lord, as we literally said a couple of minutes ago, they are facing struggles that we did not have to face. They're facing unhealthy comparisons on social media and on YouTube and TikTok and wherever. But Holy Spirit, we pray that by this time, in this time now, Lord, that you would minister to their hearts, knowing that you love them first, Lord, irrespective of where they are, irrespective of the amount of likes or dislikes they've got on social media, you loved them first, Lord. And I pray if there's parents listening now and they are still, and they're praying for their son or daughter just to come into the knowledge of Christ, that you would stir in the heart of that son or daughter now that warmness in the still small voice of your Spirit, just to give them that hunger, that thirst to come back to you, so that the next generation in this my country of ours, Lord, will be free from racism, sexism, and all the bad isms, and just share the love of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray this, Lord. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Meneer Ditoy. Have yourself a beautiful afternoon, Father. Greet your wife, greet your kids, and happy Father's Day in advance. It's Father's Day on Sunday. Enjoy your day.
Thank you so much, and I appreciate it. Have a lovely evening.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Family, that was Charles Dutoy, you know, encouraging our youth, you know, in this day and age. And also, if you have a young person at home and you're seeking counseling, you're welcome to contact Charles. The WhatsApp line, it's a WhatsApp line. You can WhatsApp him on 064-530-6805. I repeat the numbers, 064-530-6805. Like I said, if you're missing the number, you're welcome to WhatsApp me on the Radio Pulpit WhatsApp line, and I'll quickly respond. 064-530-6805. That is Charles Dutoy's cancelling number. Here is Boys and Kings. No, Sons of Delight. They are singing Boys and Kings. Am I correct? I hope so.
One vision, one voice, one message. Radio Pulpit 657 AM and 729 Cape Pulpit, impacting lives from Gauteng to the Cape.
It's difficult to face the overwhelming pressures of life alone. Sometimes we just need someone to talk to, someone to listen to us. And what better way to do that than through a quick and easy WhatsApp text? Whether you're having a hard time coping with school, family issues, being bullied, depression, or anxiety, speak to someone who cares today. Send a WhatsApp message to 064-530-6805 or 074-995-9085. Our I Am Youth Counseling team, Charles Dutoy and Danny Vambili, are ready to connect with you today.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.